Heartfelt greetings this midday, midweek gathering point to savor connection and care and community, opportunity to pause and practice. Okay, Gabriella, glad you're here. So let's practice together. Perhaps keeping it simple today. Letting there be a soft landing into this moment that might be orienting yourself to the space where you're sitting, might be a little movement before softening into relative stillness. It might be a simplifying of the sensory input by softening the gaze, partially closing the eyes, and it might be that your nervous system is yearning for the rest of closing the eyes completely. Releasing the world of screens and sights. Turning the volume down on the sense gate of vision to perhaps allow the volume to be turned up or tuned in to the fuller spectrum of your experience in this moment. Touching into the sense gate of sound. The sounds that might be present in the space where you sit. The sounds that might be nearby or even at a distance. We can feel into the space that surrounds us, that holds us through this sense gate of the ears, of hearing. Feeling both the intimacy of immediate space and the expansiveness of extended space. And sometimes that quality of spaciousness allows the nervous system to begin to rest. It's like there's enough room for all the contents of the mind and the body to roam around in. That energetic difference of being a horse in a stall in the barn or being a horse running through an open field. So we feel the space through the sense gate of hearing. We feel the body sitting here, tuning into the sense gate of touch, of sensations, feet upon the floor, bottom on the cushion or the chair. Hands resting on the legs or in the lap. Inviting the body to rest into and be received by the support, the steadiness offered by gravity, earth body resting on earth. We come home to our elemental belonging. We feel the belonging of this body, our most intimate home, that we've inhabited from the beginning. Taking care to notice how it is in this precious body. Aware of places of ease and spaciousness within. And aware of any pockets of tension or tightness. And meeting the fullness of the body with a sense of welcoming. This belongs. nothing left out of the experience of the body. Taking care to check in with the heart mind. Sometimes we draw distinctions between the mental experience and the emotional experience, and sometimes we offer a wide embrace, recognizing the interweaving of these dimensions of experience. And here too, you might be aware of places of ease and openness, spaciousness in the heart mind. As well as being aware of any pockets of tension or constriction in the heart mind. And offering a quality of welcome. This belongs. Nothing excluded from the heart mind. Coming home to the breath, perhaps feeling the belonging in this. Circling of life force, of energy that we experience with each and every breath. This reminder of our belonging to the circle of life. If it serves and supports you in your practice today to let the breath be a touchstone for you, a place to gather and rest when the mind wanders, then let yourself return again and again to the simplicity of just the next breath. And if somehow it feels more nourishing to notice a touch point in the body as an anchor, or if it feels stabilizing to rest in the spaciousness of sound, trust the wisdom of your own practice. Letting there be some resting place, some place of belonging to breath, to body, to the spacious holding of awareness. So that there's a clarity to your practice. Some place that you're collecting yourself to again and again when there's drifting or distraction or disturbance. As we come to the final minutes of our practice together today, tuning in to any sense of belonging that might be here for you. A belonging to this moment, a belonging in this body. A belonging in this breath, this circle of life. A belonging in this circle right here. This circle of community and connection. And perhaps arising from this sense of belonging, there might be a wish to extend a similar sense of belonging and the safety and well-being that that can offer to all beings. May all beings know true belonging, ease of heart, freedom, and well-being. May it be so. I read a story this week about a college basketball player at Wichita State University who, after his team won the game, he stayed in the stadium to help clean after the game, just because, you know, it wasn't punishment, it wasn't restitution, it was just what this young man Dexter chose to do. And the facilities manager, you know, remarked that, you know, a lot of the staff that cleaned the stadium had been there for decades and had never seen something like this happen. And, you know, and it was a moment of feeling, seen and appreciated, like someone was aware of the hard work that goes into cleaning up after a game. And there's a way that being seen is part of belonging. A sense that everyone matters. Every contribution is significant. I saw another story this week about a father and his daughter, 6-year-old daughter, who got this idea of, what if we get an RV and we drive it out. They live in Colorado, and drive it out to California to somebody who lost their home in a fire. And, they've been doing this for 3 years now, and have gifted 20 donated RVs to people who have lost their homes. And, it's a practice for this father, for this family, of teaching kindness to his daughter. And I would say it's a way of teaching, practicing engaged kindness. Wise action in the world, which is often what flows out of a sense of belonging. When we feel we belong, the heart opens, with that flavor of anukampa, that sense of care that we've talked about, and out of karuna, that quality of compassion in the face of suffering and other people's pain. Thich Nhat Hanh has, I know we've studied the five precepts here, and at points in the last year, these practices or guidelines of ethical behavior. And Thich Nhat Hanh, a well-known Vietnamese teacher, has what he developed many, many decades ago, the 14 precepts of engaged Buddhism. And one of them, a line in it, is that we're invited to not lose contact with suffering or close our eyes before suffering, to not lose awareness of the existence of suffering in the life of the world. And in my own practice, what I found is that a sense of belonging helps me keep my eyes open. When I think each of us are grounded in a sense of belonging, there can be greater regulation in our own nervous system, which can allow greater availability for other beings, human and more than human. The form of meditation that we typically practice is Vipassana meditation. Some of you may have heard that word. Sometimes it's called insight meditation, and the translation of Vipassana is actually clear seeing. Clear seeing. So to see clearly, the existence of suffering, the needs of others, the state of our world. And we've talked so much about how our internal practice supports our external practice, our engagement with what's happening around us, close to home and in widening circles of belonging. It's like that quote from Mother Teresa that I've referenced a few times. It's like we can start to draw our circle of family wider. I was thinking of a couple of other sweet stories about, some of you may have seen this, it was widely circulated, the story of a woman Wanda, who had sent a number of years ago a text message to what she thought was her grandson inviting him to Thanksgiving. And it was actually another teenager at a local high school. And his response was, you know, like, you're not my grandmother, but can I still come to dinner? And she said, of course. And this past year, they celebrated their sixth Thanksgiving together as adopted family and have, you know, built this really lovely surprise connection. You know, and it's this young man as he's grown and his girlfriend were part of this. And Wanda's husband died during the pandemic. I don't know if it was of COVID, but like, here's this young man who is part of their family and, you know, grieved that loss with her and her family. And so we draw this circle of family wider. Or another beautiful story of, you know, with the evacuations from Afghanistan and, you know, the rise of the Taliban again, the BBC was following the lives of one family through the arc of time. And this man was a translator for the British government. And, you know, his family went into hiding and then managed to catch one of the flights before the airport was bombed and spent 100 days in a hotel in London. And there was a woman in Scotland who saw, you know, this story that was coming out in increments. And she reached out and said, you know, I was really touched by this man's story. My mother was a translator in World War II. And my mother and her family escaped to England. And through the generosity and kindness of people, my family survived. And so this woman sort of adopted and offered an apartment to this family and brought them to Scotland. And I was struck, you know, by one of the statements she made sort of when she met with them. They had this little video clip and it was, you know, it was like, you're home now and you belong. You know, you belong. So, you know, we draw our circle wider to this human family and the more than human world, you know, how we treat not only each other, but perhaps also the earth. Maybe I'll just offer, you know, a quote that points to that and then maybe we'll pause for some sharing. This is from Joseph Marshall. He's a Lakota man who is in his 70s. And he was sharing about the Lakota worldview and says, what's most important for people to understand is how we relate to other forms of life. We as human beings are no better or no worse than any other form of life. Whether it's a shrub or a bird or a snake or any other form of life, we are equal because all of us are born into this life. We live our lives, fulfill our purposes, and then our lives end. And no creature, no form of life, especially us humans, can circumvent that one reality. It's like he's pointing right to those messengers, right? The common humanity. He goes on to say, that's what makes us all equal. We don't regard humans as having dominion. We don't regard ourselves as being the one species that is in charge of all other species. We are no more and no less. That is the one reality that I think the world needs to understand in relationship to the earth. Most people do not accept that. They look at life from a different viewpoint. That has an impact on how we treat one another, how we treat other forms of life, and how we treat the earth. I think if there was one thing that other people can learn from the Lakota, it is that understanding. So, in many ways, it's like circling right back to where we began with this series around belonging. You know, belonging to the elements, belonging to this larger circle of life, belonging to the larger human family, and then how that quality of belonging is lived out in wise action and engaged kindness, in big and small gestures. You know, we may not be, you know, environmental activists dedicating our whole lives to this work, or social justice activists, but these small gestures of opening our doors and opening our hearts. And maybe I'll just end with one small gesture. A friend of mine recently, a group I'm part of, we're having a conversation about how to give a good apology. And part of that was in the context of the spirit of reconciliation that might be needed in our country around some of the horrors of genocide and slavery and other, you know, painful, hurtful parts of our history. And then it was also, someone raised the question, how could you apologize to a tree? How could you apologize to a tree? And after thinking about it for a while, she shared with our group that one way, one small gesture she's now offering is in her away message on her email. She has a little message that says, "Join in for the sake of the environment. Think first, then print. You save approximately 0.2 milliliters of water, 2 grams of carbon, and 2 grams of wood per page." So I'll just pause and